Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to MVP. We are Sports Illustrated's Charlotte Wilder
and Jessica Smetana.
And this is the Most Valuable Podcast.
Brought to you by the Most Valuable Podcasters.
Hey, Jess.
Hey, Char.
Woo! We had a doozy of a Monday.
We did.
I mean, you did, but
well,
it felt like
the,
me
the
by
internet
extension.
Did.
The internet
this
did.
This story's like gone everywhere now.
So we're going to start this week. Normally we start with a rundown, but we know why you're all here this week. So we're gonna start with a new segment.
Give the people what they want.
Yeah, we're going to start with a new segment called Beef Club. Which is not about steaks,
it's not
or
about
beef
Costco,
jerky.
Like steak sales.
You're not getting Omaha steaks sent to your door.
No.
This is about
although,
internet fights.
We should get this segment sponsored by Omaha Steaks.
Yeah. Omaha Steaks, if you're out there, we have a segment for you to sponsor. But basically, Jess,
let
I'll
me,
let you
me start from the top.
What
okay.
happened?
Yes. So basically, as everyone knows, Carrie Underwood sings the Sunday Night Football theme song.
Mm-hmm.
And in years past, it's been waiting all day for Sunday night, and everyone, which
and
everyone
it's been,
loves.
Oh, Sunday
yes.
night,
and she
which
says,
is my personal favorite.
Right, and she says, Al and Chris are the best on TV, which she doesn't say anymore, which does she not think that they're the best on TV?
Well,
anyways. So this
I'd say
year,
we could ask her, but.
This year, week one, the new song came out, and it's called Game On, and a lot of people on Twitter and around the entire internet have been saying how much they don't like the song.
And how much they miss the old one. And
right.
I want to preface this with saying that Jess and I are probably the two biggest Sunday Night Football fans I've ever
met. I
love
Sunday Night Football.
We once had a private text conversation where I was like, Jess, Chris and Al are amazing. Like, I love, like, an earnest conversation where I was just like, I love this so much.
It's a good broadcast.
Yeah.
It's probably, like, one of the best. It probably is the best.
I think it's the best
NFL broadcast.
And I also think that there are a lot of traditions that accompany this broadcast
yes.
that fans then latch onto, and the song is definitely one of them.
Yes. So,
and it's been so good in the past that we were disappointed
right.
when it wasn't as good.
So it's week 15 now. And for the last 15 Sundays, people have been like, every time the song comes on, you see it all over Twitter. People are like, Sunday night, this Game On is not my real dad.
Well, I tweeted
tweets
that.
Tweets of that nature.
I tweeted that.
That one was Charlotte. But
yep.
more, if you search it, you'll find tweets.
Yep.
Don't search it.
Don't,
but like,
right.
if you really wanted to.
Right.
so I tweeted a joke. So, Chris, back to Chris.
Oh, yeah.
Chris, as we talked about a few weeks ago, he slides into the frame.
Mm-hmm.
He slid in from the opposite side on Sunday night, and people were like shook. I was shook.
I actually have a quote from their executive producer.
Oh.
Sunday Night Football executive producer Frank Adeli, quote, "We saw the great reaction that this has been getting, so we decided to wink at the admirers by having Chris come in from the other side. We hope everyone enjoyed it."
They winked at us.
They winked at us.
That's a great quote.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, good for you.
Maybe I'll put it in an article.
Although
I was like, what else am I going to write? Because then I was like, can I talk to Chris? And they're like, he's traveling. And I was like, okay.
Fair.
Can I please talk to Chris? And they're like, still traveling.
Well, anyway, so back to the story.
Yeah.
So I tweeted, let me read my tweet. So I don't want to mix up my words.
Yep.
I said, this is Sunday night. I love that NBC has been reading everyone's Collinsworth slide tweets because it means they've also been reading all the tweets about how much we hate the new Carrie Underwood song. Benign enough tweet.
Yeah.
Got a lot of likes, I'll
yep.
admit. Like, going into Monday morning, a couple thousand people had liked it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know. So Sunday morning, or Monday morning, excuse me, I get out of the shower, mm-hmm. and I see that Carrie Underwood has quote tweeted my tweet.
What did she say, Jess? Read us what she said.
I'll read what she said. She said, sorry. Hey, I know my music isn't for everyone, but I love what I do, and I love being a part of at Sunday Night Football on NBC. Heart. I am one lucky lady. I also love women who build other women up. Just saying. Thumbs up.
So, First of all,
Carrie Underwood has 8 million Twitter followers.
Yes. And second of all, I mean, should I go on my rant now?
Well, let's just say let me finish the story. Yeah. So she tweets this and I'm like, I responded because I thought, you know, this is going to blow over, whatever. I was like, no, like, I love you. We just missed the old song and like thought that like.
And normally she'd be like, okay.
I thought maybe she'd respond and be like, oh, like, it's all good. You know, Twitter mob. Stop attacking this random woman who I just incited you to go after. But she didn't. And then people were like, sick backtrack. Bleh. And I was like, I wasn't backtracking. I never said that I liked the song.
Right.
So then like a few hours pass and all of a sudden it's on E! And BuzzFeed and mm-hmm. all these like digital news publications. And they're like praising Carrie Underwood for clapping back at a fan. Someone called me a fan. And I was like, I think the tweet.
Right.
But whatever, right. I digress. And I was like, okay, so I should probably tweet something else because clearly none of these reporters are going to ask me for a statement. No one had reached out to me. So I tweeted like an apology tweet, I guess you could call it.
Well, it was like a look, this is a thing now. Let's stop making it a thing tweet.
Right. So I said, hold on. I said, sorry that I dissed Game On in my tweet about Chris Collinsworth's slides.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, that is an objectively funny statement that I had to tweet. And I said, I didn't mean to upset Carrie or her fans, and I'm all about supporting women, too. I just missed waiting all day for Sunday night.
And when this was all happening, like, in the morning, and I told you, I was like, this will probably blow over in like, 3 hours. I've been through... This is what's sort of gross to me about this entire thing is that I actually found myself saying to you, like, wow, I'm surprised it took you this long to get into a big Twitter fight. I've had probably, I've been in this industry close to a decade now. I've probably had like 4 or 5 huge blowups. Some mm-hmm. of them have resulted in my parents getting hate calls at their house. Yeah. I've gotten death threats, rape threats. Like, this is just the nature of the business.
Right.
And at first, though, you know, like, the whole thing was kind of funny at first.
I thought it was hilarious for the first, like, 9.5 hours.
And then you started getting threats.
And then I started getting, like, people calling me the C word on Instagram and saying, like, way worse things than that in my DMs. And, like, then I was like, holy shit. Like, when you're a celebrity and you have a following like that, and maybe you know your fans are, I don't know the word for it, unhinged or will, like...
No, I think
it's for like, you or whatever. But like, it's kind of reckless to use your platform to quote someone else's tweet and like basically express your disapproval of what they're saying, and then also accuse them of being a bad woman who doesn't build up other women, which obviously is incredible bullshit for her to say. Because I'm a woman not only in one of the most male dominated industries in any industry, but like, I'm 24 years old and I. Like, I don't know what she was going for there, but that seemed a little bit cheap shot.
I'm gonna say some stuff. Criticizing another woman's work as a woman doesn't make you a bad feminist. I want to be held to the same standards as men. And like, if you don't think my work is good, I don't think that has anything to do with my gender. And when Carrie Underwood used your criticizing her music, and not her, but her music, and not even her music, but a corporate jingle, that is using, you know, women supporting women there is a very weak argument and cheapens those actual arguments. And
totally.
So I have a bit of a...
Go ahead. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that.
I find this whole news cycle disgusting. When you're a celebrity, I think you have a responsibility to use your platform. And I have a fraction of the following that Carrie Underwood does. And yet I've largely stopped dunking on people or quote tweeting people because I think it's gross and a cheap way to get likes and attention and pats on the back. And like, yes, queens, if that person has a significantly less following, even if they're saying terrible things, it's like the Twitter mob is such a real phenomenon and it is such a huge problem in this country that Like, even when I got into a fight with Ed Werder at ESPN, who was being pretty sexist, and I knew I was right, but at the end of the day, after websites had picked it up and everyone was telling me I was right and getting these pats on the back, I felt disgusting.
Yeah.
I felt so gross, and it's dogpiling, and it's irresponsible that news outlets picked up this story for you and glorified her, you know, clapping back at you when in fact she just leveled a charge at you that was garbage. And you
right
know,
I and like, to be fair, I never said like this song's bad. I literally said like we hate the song, as in like all of the Sunday Night Football fans, which I think is completely true, granted that like I don't know, more over 4,000 people now have liked that tweet. So clearly, like,
I mean, regardless of
I know
whether
and
or
it
not,
does
though,
and that like, doesn't matter at all, like right. That is not what matters. But I totally agree that she clearly, I think, did it knowing that it would cause a backlash and make her look really good and like.
Well,
sassy
we can't speculate. Like, I don't
you're
know
right,
what
you're
she.
Right.
I don't know what she expected, but I do think that she started something. And once you know, you apologized and then said something, and she just continued to let her fans pile on you. I don't know if she knew that. I don't know what was going on. But the thing about this kind of harassment is that it is so sad that it's become a rite of passage in this industry. And I've been through it a lot of times now. And it's not so much that like seeing all of the tweets or the threats, or it's not so much that you, even if it gets to you or you take it seriously, it's just that it's relentless and exhausting. And it wears you. And like, anyone listening to this, do not go and attack Carrie Underwood and her fans. Do not continue this cycle. The only way to make this any of this internet culture world better is just by cutting it out and like pretend that when you talk to someone online, you're sitting across from them and you have to say it to their face.
Yeah. It's like totally, to me, this is like one of the most absurd things that I have ever been a part of or even like seen. Mm-hmm. And there was definitely a point where it was like, this is fucking hilarious. Like, Carrie Underwood's fans are mad at me because I said I hate a song that's not even like a song on her album. It's like,
no, it's
the Sunday Night Football
theme
song. But then the more I like sat and thought about it, I was like, damn, she really told me I was a bad woman. And like, yeah, people are like coming at me.
And so,
but, like, it is like the internet, man.
It makes me so sad.
I generally have a good experience on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about this before. Like, we would always, people always say, like, you know, don't stay on Twitter too long. It'll, you know, your mental health, be like, blah, blah, blah. And I've always been like, man, that's never really been my experience on Twitter. Like, generally, yeah, people are really nice to me. And like, the amount of DMs that I got from people last night that were like, hey, like, I'm so sorry this is happening. Like, you're great. And like, that's like, I can't even like begin to describe how great that is. Like,
well,
for every nasty DM, there was like a really nice one. So,
and I think that when these kinds of things happen, like, that is another side of it we don't talk about. You know, there is support, but what gets even, you know, it gets gross when it becomes this cycle, and it's just like people choosing sides and being like, no, you're great, and they suck, and it's like, just, can we just cut it out?
Right.
Like, and it's disgusting that, you know, news outlets and...
Yeah, I thought that, like, the fact
not
that...
Not a single person reached out.
No, like, all, like, probably... I can't really think of a new, like, an online news outlet that didn't have the story on its front page at some point yesterday, and no one reached out to me for comment.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they didn't try to reach out to Carrie Underwood either.
And, you know, it's aggregating.
Which is,
it's how it works. Like,
I get it. I've blogged before.
No,
I totally get how it works.
But
like,
it's just, it's also gross that this industry has been bled to the point where it's like, oh, let's take a tweet at face value. And
let's make content out of this, which is like such a nothing. It's
a nothing burger. Yeah. So that's our thoughts on that. Don't use your platform to stick people on other people.
Yeah. It just like, don't. And
whether you're in media, whether you're
it's
a celebrity,
about something
whether
as
you're
stupid as the Sunday Night Football theme song,
right,
or like something more serious. It just, the internet is awful sometimes.
Like,
and
Melania Trump says, let's stop cyberbullying.
Yes. Just like Melania says.
Jesus Christ. All right. So, should we do our rundown? All right. So this week we are ranking the news by least to most confusing, because there was a lot of confusing stuff that happened.
Yeah. And someone tweeted this to us and it was a great idea. And
yeah, I can't remember who. I'm sorry.
I know. I feel bad. But
I do too.
Thank
but
you.
Thank you.
You did a good job.
We'll find you retroactively and
credit you. Here is a very crazy thing.
What?
We the Steelers and the Patriots played this weekend, and we didn't even open our episode with
that. Well, you know what's funny is on Sunday after the Patriots lost, which we'll get to. Okay,
sorry,
relax. After the Patriots lost, I was like, hey, guys, you're all going to want to listen to Most Valuable Podcast this week because we're going to have some hot takes. And I was like, wow, didn't realize how hot the takes were going to get.
I can't believe this is our second thing we've talked. But anyway, so this is...
What happened in the game?
So, why are we ranking this least confusing? I feel like this is pretty confusing.
No, because it's like...
You're right. Everything this week was confusing. So this is the least of the most confusing.
We needed to pick something to be the least confusing. This was it because basically it's pretty straightforward. The Patriots can't play football in December anymore.
Yeah.
I was not worried after they lost to the Dolphins. I was like, okay, it's a fluke. They always lose in Miami. And then Tom Brady, for 2 weeks in a row now, has made terrible decisions that are not very Tom Brady-like.
So did you see the tweet about how teams that lose on a walk-off touchdown, like the Miracle Miami, they're calling it, are 1-10 on the road following those games?
I don't know if you
saw that, but I saw that someone sent it to me on Wednesday.
Did the Dolphins win this weekend? I can't
remember. No, the Patriots, the losing team. I'm sorry.
Oh, so the losing team.
I explained that very poorly. The losing team that loses on a walk-off touchdown mm-hmm. or play is 1-10 on the road the following week.
So wow.
I saw that midweek to lose. And I thought to myself,
See, and the thing is, though, that with the Pats, I'm never counting them out.
Same. And then, so the person who sent that to me is a Steelers fan that works at SI, and I told him, but it's Bill Belichick, so.
Right.
But the Steelers could not score. They had, their starting running back was hurt. Ben Roethlisberger's, there was a report that his ribs were cracked, but it was actually, he has like some back injury or something.
That man is held together with duct tape and hope.
It's pretty crazy.
He's always hurt.
So one thing that I tweeted about this a little bit, but one thing that stuck out to me from this game was that at halftime, going into halftime, the Steelers had the lead mm-hmm. and the Patriots had the ball 4th-and-1. I think it was on around the 50. It wasn't any really Steelers territory yet, mm-hmm. but there was about 40 seconds left on the clock, and the Patriots lined up as if they're going to go for it mm-hmm. and then ran the clock, you know, all the way down to like 10 seconds. And then the offense ran off the field and the punt team came out. And I think they were trying to like catch the Steelers off guard so that they couldn't return it or whatever. Mm-hmm. Either way, Tony Romo freaked out. He thought it was the greatest Belichick mind game move.
I tweeted that I want a man to someday talk about me the way Tony Romo talks yes. about Bill Belichick's play yes. calls. Because he was just, I can't believe, have you ever seen that Belichick play mind yes. games?
And I'm sitting at home and thinking to myself, it would have been more impressive if they lined up to punt and then faked and went for the first down
right.
because the Steelers' defense this year, I don't know if Bill knows this, but they're pretty bad.
I mean, I know. I think, though, you have a guy
like
Bill Belichick.
You're probably
going to
get the first down if you have Tom Brady.
Right. You have a guy like Bill Belichick who is such a legend in his field. Like, I think that people see him do something and it becomes, and I'm a Pats fan. I love Belichick as my coach. Like,
right.
Please never stop coaching. And at the same time, I can still recognize, like, ooh, people are
if Mike Tomlin
getting a
did
little
that,
bit, people are getting like.
If Mike Tomlin did that, Steelers fans would be throwing themselves into the Monongahela River because that would have been the biggest bonehead. Because then the Patriots went in at halftime without a lead and then they never scored again.
I have to tell you, just watching this game felt like putting my brain slowly through a meat grinder. It was boring and kind of low scoring.
It
ground me down. And it had also, there were so many penalties. There were more red flags in my last three relationships, which is really saying something. And I don't know why we keep putting Gronk on defense.
Red flags or yellow flags?
Yellow flags, but I had to say red.
I'm kidding. Well, there was a challenge
there
flag.
There was one
at
red.
Least, well, Mike Tomlin tried to challenge a spot, I think. And they were like, you can't do that.
I just don't understand why you keep putting Gronk on defense and why Tom Brady keeps forgetting how to play. And everyone is worried about Tom Brady's pliable muscles.
Oh.
I'm a little worried about Tom Brady's pliable brain because the mistakes he's been making are all in his head. He's getting all in his head about it.
Yes.
And I was just
that
like,
interception to Joe Hayden. So I have a theory that Tom Brady is nearing the end of his playing career. And on that play, just had a thought where he was like, thinking to himself, oh my God, I might retire without ever getting the chance to totally make a bonehead play and lob the ball up midfield at a defender. I have to do it. It's now or never.
I just want to see
what it feels like. And so he just did it. And Joe Hayden caught it and came down in bounds. An incredible athletic play.
It was.
And made Tom Brady look awful. But I think Tom just needed to get it out of his system, because I think, you know, over the last, 16 years in the league, he was like,
I've never done this.
I've never done it. 16 seems like a low.
I think my problem with the Patriots right now is that, you know, anytime Tom Brady does something stupid or anytime they lose, the hot takes come out. It's like, oh, Tom Brady's old. He's done now. And this was the first game where I watched it and I felt like.
You felt it.
Yeah. I felt like for a second, you know, if I'm not saying it's over. I'm not counting it out because it's Tom Brady.
Because Patriots fans do this all the time.
Exactly.
But
this felt different.
Yeah.
And I didn't love it.
Yeah. When the Patriots got the ball back with about 3 minutes, or I think there was a little bit over 2 minutes left, and they needed basically to score and then either kick an extra point to tie it or go for the 2-point conversion, I was pretty much convinced that they were going to do that because he threw that bomb to Chris Hogan right up midfield.
Yep.
It might have been Julian Edelman. It's kind of hard to tell which white guy it is sometimes.
You can tell Julian because he has the red gloves.
You're right. but, I mean, they came right upfield, and then they got a penalty called on them, so it was like first and goal from the 20 or something. And I was like, he's got four shots to throw it to Gronk or Julian Edelman or anyone. Josh Gordon, who was somehow not on the field. And the Steelers' defense has been blowing coverages all year on plays like that. So I was like, okay, well, it's going to be a walk-off 2-point conversion, and they're going to win. And it's going to be the most devastating Steelers-Patriots loss that I've ever seen. And he overthrew the end zone four times.
It was unbelievable.
I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
I've never seen Brady play like that. And also, I've never had the feeling. You thought they were going to blow it. You thought the Steelers were going to blow it.
Yes.
Normally, when I'm watching that at the end, I'm like, oh, okay, it's a Pats. We got this. I didn't feel that way. Watched it. I almost texted you with 2 minutes left and said, the Pats are going to lose. And I didn't, because I didn't know if that would jinx. Like, I didn't want to jinx anything.
Right, and you didn't
want
to, trigger me.
Yeah, so I just... Right. I didn't say anything, but I want you to know that I was
convinced it wasn't going to work. I tried not to like rub it in too much because I know how much it sucks.
I mean, at this point,
you've still won like 10 million Super Bowls. The Steelers have more, but you've won a lot.
Okay.
And Steelers fans, the last time the Steelers beat the Patriots, I was in high school. It was 2011. Well, like, that's fucked. That's really just sad. So I needed this. And I'm very happy that
I'm
I got
glad you
it.
Had it.
Thank
I,
you.
You know.
Steelers needed it. Like, their team has not gotten its shit together this season.
No.
And I think, you know, better team won. So.
Okay. Well, you have to stop talking about this because I'm angry. The AFC standings. Chargers.
Very confusing.
Beat the Chiefs. Super confusing. And it means that the Chargers might get home field advantage at StubHub Center, which is a soccer field in LA.
Yeah, it seats 27,000 fans, give or take. And Adam Schefter tweeted this, which I think is very funny.
What?
Apparently naming rights for StubHub Center expire on the 31st of December. So
okay, so what are they going to call it?
The Chargers probably going to host a playoff game. Uh-huh. Might host the AFC Championship.
With a 27,000-seat stadium?
And filled with mostly other teams' fans because they don't really
have a
home crowd right now.
Yeah.
But the name of the stadium is going to be Dignity Health Sports Park.
Mm.
Yeah.
God, why can't we just go back to calling stadiums cool names?
I know.
I'm so
sick of this.
Or at
least cool, like the Staples Center. I'm just kidding. That's a callback from last week.
Callback.
At least like brands like with cool names sponsor, like Wrigley Field.
Or
that's a company, but it's a good name.
But it's become such legend that it doesn't feel like a company. Like, can't we just do something where we give the companies, it drives me insane. And I don't like that. You have all of these words jumbled together that don't even sound good, and just it's like a billboard, but it's the name of your stadium.
It's like Guaranteed Right Field, the White Sox.
It's awful.
Stadium. There is a giant red
Kaminsky Park
down arrow.
So much better.
A giant red down arrow. That's Guaranteed Rate's logo on the side when you drive down the Dan Ryan in Chicago. It's like saddest shit in the world.
I hate it.
Guaranteed Right Field down arrow. Very sad.
The Chargers and the Chiefs game, I feel like there's a game every year that's a total fluke to me and I never would have seen coming, and it was the Chargers winning this one.
Yeah, I think after they beat the Steelers, not to bring this back to the Steelers, but to bring it back to the Steelers on Sunday Night Football, I think that gave them a little bit of momentum. And like Keenan Allen, who was on my fantasy team, had 0 points and they still won.
I also, this matchup just got me thinking, like, if Pat Mahomes is, if Ketchup is trying to sponsor Pat Mahomes, Philip Rivers is about to have 9 kids, and I think that he could get, is he sponsored by, like, a diaper company or
oh,
Gerber?
Oh, man. I feel like Philip Rivers is one of those, like, cloth diaper people.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I bet there's a really nice bespoke cloth diaper company that could reach out to him.
Yeah.
So, you know, just food for thought, some free marketing.
I cannot believe
marketing.
He has 9 kids. That's...
So, I mean, also, I know he has a lot of money, but putting 9 kids through college is still millions.
If anyone can do it,
it's I'm happy
Rivers.
He's an NFL player. Yeah. Jess, your Chicago Bears
yes,
are in the playoffs.
Yes, my Bears. My little Bears.
This is confusing.
My little Bears. Someone called them Cubs, but just kidding. I don't know. The Bears won the NFC North. It's the thing that is so funny to me about this team being good is that when Mitchell Trubisky was drafted, people in Chicago literally booed him at a Bulls game where he was like shown on the Jumbotron that April. And then if you look at the beginning of the season before they signed Khalil Mack, like this team came very close to not having Khalil Mack.
I think Khalil Mack single-handedly got the Bears into the playoffs.
I mean, he sacked Aaron Rodgers with
Mitchell,
his butt.
Yeah. Mitchell. Which I would love to be able to go back to Mitch, but I don't want to disrespect him by calling him the wrong name. But Mitchell Trubisky has been way better than I expected him to be. But also, I think that you can trace the success to John Gruden trading Khalil Mack from the Raiders.
Yeah, and Trubisky has been a little bit – he's had his moments. He hasn't been, like, that great.
No, but he's been good enough.
He's had really great games.
They're there.
So this is just, like – this is great – for Chicago. I love it, and I'm obviously a Bears fan now.
Yeah.
So this, I'll take it.
Congrats.
Yeah, thank you.
Congrats on your Steelers and your Bears.
Teams in the playoffs this year.
Stitch Fix, online personal styling service. It finds and delivers clothes. Jess, my favorite part about this is taking the quiz.
Yeah, it's fun to get a little quiz about yourself and your style and realize how awful you are at dressing yourself every morning.
Or that you only wear sweaters and jeans.
Basically what happened to us.
Yeah, we were like, oh my God, this is embarrassing. They were like, do you want like fun, flirty shirts? And I was like, you know what? Let's try it. Because right now I'm wearing a Bum Equipment sweatshirt and leggings.
I'm wearing
and Nikes.
A Steelers shirt.
And a Baker Mayfield headband.
Yep.
Wow. We are basically walking ads for people who need Stitch Fix. We'll take a picture and tweet this and be like, at Stitch Fix, you up?
Yep.
Go to stitchfix.com/MVP and tell them your sizes, what styles you like, how much you want to spend on each item, and you will be paired with your very own personal stylist, which is something that usually only very rich people have, but we are bringing to the masses, and they will handpick items and send them right to your door.
Yes, then you try them on, pay for what you love, and return the rest. Shipping, exchanges, and returns are always free.
No subscription required, which I love.
Yes.
Because then you just sign up.
Whenever you feel like you need a new little boost to your wardrobe,
I'm like, hey,
ask
Jess,
for a box.
I need my fix. And you're like, well, thank God for Stitch Fix. So get started now at stitchfix.com/MVP, and you will get an extra 25% off when you keep all items in your box. That's stitchfix.com/MVP to get started today. Jess, hit me with it one more time.
Stitchfix.com/MVP.
MVP.
/MVP.
So the next thing we're going to rank in terms of confusion is, I'd say this is middling confusing.
Yeah.
It's the names of college football bowl games. Yeah. I'm going to read a few of these. We've got the Cherry Bundy Boca Raton Bowl, Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl, Jared Birmingham Bowl.
Jared Birmingham Bowl sounds
is
like...
Is that a guy?
Sounds like a stripper. Jared Birmingham, like a
like
country
Magic
music
Mike.
Stripper. Yeah.
Jared
he,
Birmingham.
He like strips, but he has a guitar like over his private parts. That's what Jared Birmingham
Jared
sounds
Birmingham
like.
Played by Channing Tatum. Makers Wanted Bahama Bowl.
So
but...
Makers Wanted is funny because that's the slogan of Elk Grove Village, a suburb of Chicago.
And we were in talks with the mayor of Elk Grove, and we were supposed to chat with him, but the timing didn't work out because we were in L.A.
We were very upset.
And
we didn't
I'm
get
so
to talk
sorry
to, the, mayor of
to
Elk Grove.
The town of Elk Grove
like
for
we,
letting you down by not having you on our podcast.
Yeah. And the Cheez-It Bowl, which the Cheez-It Bowl is my favorite bowl because that absolutely should be a New Year's Six bowl game.
Well, it also
like, get
makes
the Peach Bowl
sense.
Out of here.
It's a bowl of Cheez-Its.
Give us the – yes, exactly. All of the bowl names should be things that you could put in a bowl.
I agree. If you – You asked, you know, like, if we sponsored a bowl, what would we call it? My feeling was, I think obviously we would want to go with the MVP bowl, but that gets confusing with the actual MVP award. So I would want like a wine company to sponsor us, maybe. We could have like the MVP presented by Aunt Chardonnay bowl.
Aunt Chardonnay. Ooh, that's a good, we need to open
a
wine
make
company.
A wine, yeah, we need to make a wine called
I was thinking that if we sponsored a bowl, it would be the most valuable podcast bowl presented by Radio.com, iTunes, and wherever you get podcasts.
That's really good.
Or just the gritty bowl.
Yeah, that's obvious.
But I mean, think that might be copyright infringement.
Well, I think that the Flyers probably have dibs on that. But if the Flyers sponsored, I mean, you never know. I was also just thinking, like, let's just go with, like, you could do cereal slash soup slash...
The soup bowl.
The soup bowl.
Why doesn't Campbell's have a bowl game?
Or Lucky Charms. Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Shh,
that's really true.
You know, like, I don't understand why they're just letting all these incredible puns.
Charlotte was bragging last week because Cinnamon Toast Crunch followed her on Twitter, and I got really mad that I never bragged about the time Corn Nuts followed me. So you're listening to two famous people right now.
We are real in tight with the brands.
Oh, my God.
Also, but I think that Combos was going to send me a Combos Christmas sweater, but it hasn't arrived yet.
Love brands.
I love Combos.
One thing I will say about bowl season, though, it is absolutely my favorite time of year. About 6 months ago, my sister wanted me to come to visit her where she lives now, and I told her that this month of December, between like Christmas and January, I can't do it because it's bowl season. I literally, and that
you
was before
live for this.
That was before Notre Dame made it to the playoff. Like, I told her I will not miss bowl season to travel. I will be, if anyone wants to tweet at me over the next 2.5 weeks and tweet about what bowl game you're watching, I'll probably be watching it. I'll say hey.
I will not be watching it. I need to take...
Bowl games are 100% my thing.
I love that they're your thing. I also love that we have a little bit of, not dead time, but like, you know, it's family
stuff. Time off,
I think I need to...
Not watch sports.
I need to unplug my brain. I need to stop looking at Twitter. I need to stop looking at Instagram. I need to stop watching sports every single second that I'm alive because I feel my brain bleeding out of my ears and I want to be as good as I can be. I want to come back fresh in January.
You know how I turn my brain off?
How?
I lay on the floor with my dog on top of me and I watch Toledo play FIU.
See?
In a meaningless game in front of about 10,000 fans.
I'm so happy you have that.
And
I'm
put
also...
money on it and I lose my money and I love it.
I'm going to read. I'm gonna read books. I'm gonna read.
Never
I have a list
of
5 books, and I'm gonna get through them in December at the end of the year, and I can't wait. So the next confusing thing. This was very confusing. I'm gonna tell you guys a story about the Celtics because there are two guys on Twitter, who big basketball Twitter guys, who started calling Robert Williams, a rookie on the Celtics, Time Lord. And they call him this because they wanted to make fun of how the media turned his being late for conference call and being late to practice into these huge scandals. So it wasn't making fun of Williams. It was making fun of the media for doing what the media does, which we've already covered.
Right. Of course.
Danny Ainge didn't like the name. So he suggested that Robert Williams be called Lob Williams.
That's a good nickname.
It is a good nickname, but
they should call Tom Brady Lob Brady.
Oh, Jessica.
Sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
Nicknames, though, they're not created. Nicknames
happen. You have to be given a nickname.
And it has to be organic, and someone has to come up for... Like, I don't want someone to remember exactly why or when they came up with a nickname for me unless it's truly brilliant.
Right.
Like, Lob Williams isn't smart enough to be like...
Do you have any good nicknames?
You know, I do. And it's funny because all of my nicknames have followed me from different parts of my life. From, like, high school to college, college to the real world, without people knowing...
Yes, the same thing happened to me, actually.
Isn't that weird?
Yes, it's very weird.
Like, I have C-dubs. I have, obviously, just Char or Wilder. Char Babe, Char Shark, Chuck. Well, that was only one guy. Shout out Alex Rubenstein. Chuck.
Charfax is my favorite. I sometimes call you that in my head.
Do you?
Charfax, yeah.
You can call it, yeah,
the Charfax.
That was a game that we used to play at SB Nation when Dan Rubenstein would give people facts about me and they'd have to say whether it was true or false.
It's a really good game if you're ever bored.
It's a really fun game. And strange ones for my parents, but like, what are yours?
I have a bunch. My sister, for some reason, calls me Smidge. She's called me Smidge.
I like that.
Since I was like, maybe like, 6.
Really?
It's cute.
Smidge is good.
But like now I'm much taller than her, so it's kind of funny. She also called me Snaggletooth, which is rude.
That's
mean. But in high school, people called me like Smetty, Smets, etc. In college, people called me Baytana, which I thought was really funny.
Baytana. Well, you realize that by telling people this, we are just setting ourselves up for...
If people want to call me Baytana, like, that's better than Smetana, and it's probably easier to spell. So.
If you guys want to call me C-dubs, I mean, you probably already do. There was something else I was going to say about nicknames. But my brain is bleeding out of my ears, so I can't.
Oh, let's move on.
Okay. Was this confusing? Yeah, this was confusing.
Yeah, this whole situation is confusing. So Tommy Hawk, the Blackhawks mascot, beat up a fan.
Like, not
at the United Center, like, slammed this man on the ground.
If you haven't seen this video, go check it out, because this is, it was like a UFC cage match.
Yes.
But it was a guy dressed up in a bird, fuzzy bird suit.
Tommy Hawk. It was Tommy Hawk.
It was Tommy Hawk, a fuzzy bird suit.
Yes. Well, sure.
It's fuzzy.
It's Tommy Hawk. Okay. So, I mean, I get it, like, Gritty is in the spotlight now, and all the other NHL mascots need to,
step it up.
You need to have some attention on them, but Tommy Hawk went full heel. So what's confusing about this is apparently that the fan who he was beating up attacked Tommy Hawk first, and the police are still looking for this guy. They don't know who he is, but there are differing...
The police are still...
Yes, I'm dead serious. There's differing accounts of what happened. People are claiming that the fan didn't attack Tommy Hawk, I guess.
Does the video start once they're fighting?
Yes, the video starts with Tommy Hawk literally picking this guy off the ground and slamming him. Like, it's... on his back. Like, it's a rep. It's like John Cena would be proud.
Look, I don't like assault, but
No, we're not condoning assault.
But it was pretty funny watching a bird just absolutely destroy him. And it wasn't funny. I was just it was a cognitive dissonance.
Right. If the guy who got beaten up provoked Tommy Hawk, I mean, not that you deserve to get beaten up. But it does make you... It's not like it was an unprovoked Tommy Hawk going after a random person.
If the guy started it, that is different. I do think that, you know, he really went on
him. I also read that the fan, like, tried to take off Tommy Hawk's mascot
head. Oh, well, that's
the
cardinal sin.
Which is, like,
you
awful.
Don't...
Like, never.
Do you know what this reminded me of? What? In 2016, when UNC was in the national championship game in March Madness.
You talked to mascots.
Yeah, no, that was it.
That was
2017. Sorry. In 2016, Ramsey's, the UNC Ram, got punched in the stomach at the end of the UNC tournament. And I watched the video at least 30 times because he really just, like, doubles over. And then I called UNC to find out what happened. And they said it wasn't that he got punched, but, like, someone knocked him over. But then I went back through the video and it really looked like he got beat up.
Yeesh.
I know. So mascots.
Not an easy job.
No. And
all
I.
All respect to mascots.
Shout out mascots.
Especially Gritty.
Mostly Gritty. This is confusing.
We have a Maroon 5 update.
Yeah.
So apparently, according to Variety and a few other places, Maroon 5 can't find any guest acts for the Super Bowl because a lot of artists are turning them down. Apparently, because of the NFL Colin Kaepernick situation right now. Apparently, that's why Rihanna turned them down when they approached her to do the halftime show. This is just really...
This is a tough look for Maroon 5 because
they were the only
people
that...
They're the ones
that,
who are...
Right.
Who have agreed to do this when everyone else is like, hey, NFL, you guys are being really terrible. And now Maroon 5 is stuck playing... it's a huge deal.
This is the thing. It's like the biggest show. If you're an artist and you play the Super Bowl, you're... on the most watched show of the year, like, of the entire year. And you become a household name. Like, you might already be a household name, but, like, you solidify, there's only been 50 Super Bowls, probably, like, 40, probably less than that, because I don't think they started doing the halftime show till like, the mid-90s. But anyways, so...
The visuals here, though, are not...
It's very
great.
It's not
for
great.
Them. I mean, either that or if you, you know, maybe it's good for
maybe
their
they're
fan base.
Maybe they're going to make a statement about it during the show. I don't know what they're going to do.
I doubt they would.
I doubt that, too, but I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I also read that the halftime show isn't paid. You don't get paid to do it.
What?
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
Oh,
I read this
God.
In Variety. Weird.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is one of those things where both sides of the Kaepernick issue are so passionate that, you know, maybe Maroon 5 is banking on all the angry, you know, in my opinion, idiots, because, like, come on. But, like, are banking on everyone just being like, oh, like, great, they took, you know, all these other people are turning them down. So it's just a very sticky situation, and I wouldn't want to be in it.
I think the only way that they, you know, come out of this looking good is if they just play Sweet Victory.
From SpongeBob, which yes. I learned about last week.
And
on loop, I think the only Mercedes song they Benz, should play is Sweet Victory.
Yes, Mercedes-Benz Stadium tweeted a gif of SpongeBob from Band Geeks. So I don't know what that means, but
I think it means that it might happen.
I,
if it doesn't happen, Maroon 5 is...
They're screwed.
Idiots.
They're so screwed.
Okay, we're winding down here. Man, we have so much news this week. So much stuff happened.
Okay, second most confusing thing of the week was Marlins Man getting a... Getting ahead of the story.
So we'll explain this in a second, but Jess, first tell everyone who Marlon's
okay,
Man is.
Okay, yeah. We should definitely backtrack here, because Marlon's Man's a kind of like an internet phenomenon.
He's an institution in the sports world, unfortunately.
Yes. So Marlon's Man is a guy from Florida who sits behind home plate at, used to be just be Marlon's games, now it's basically any primetime baseball game.
His name is Lawrence Levy, and he's a lawyer, yes. And he has a ton of money, so he just flies around the country right. Going to every big
and
game.
And he wears these orange Marlon's jerseys and orange visors. So you can recognize him on TV, and he's kind of just become an internet thing because of his personality and just like the way he is.
He's very strange, and he always talks about supporting the troops and,
right.
And all the good he does.
Twitter, but then you kind of will like get what he's about. Like he's just, he is very like, I don't know, his personality has become a thing now in the sports world.
In a way that is not, well, we'll get there. So yes. Marlon's right. Man this week tweeted something out that was very funny.
Yes, yes.
He said, so I am putting this out there before someone accuses me of hiding it, dot, dot, missing a dot there. 2019 is 100th anniversary of at MLB Black Sox scandal. And yes, Arnold Rothstein was relative. His sister Edith Rothstein married Henry Lustig, owner of Longchamp Restaurants. His niece, my mom, is Janet Lustig. So here's Marlon's Man getting ahead of a story that no one knows about or cares about whatsoever to once again insert himself into a story that doesn't exist.
Can I read this quote from the big lead? I thought Please. This was one of the funniest things I've read all week. Quote, that's right. 100 years ago, 8 Chicago White Sox players conspired with gamblers to throw the World Series. One of the racketeers involved was Arnold Rothstein. His sister married a restaurateur. His niece gave birth to Marlon's Man. Put away all the strings and pushpins. The case has been cracked, blown wide open by a person loosely involved. Smart move by Marlon's Man to get ahead of this and take all the steam out of the upcoming expose.
Listen, the man knows PR. I have to say, this tweet from Marlon's Man was the equivalent of sitting front row at a big game.
Yep.
This is like, none of this is about you, but you're going to make this about you and your stupid orange hat. Sorry, visor.
Whoa.
Can I tell my Marlon's Man
yes,
story?
Yes, please.
So I know this guy.
Humble brag.
No, that's a real brag.
Okay. Brag.
I'm bragging
Charlotte
about this.
Marlon's Man.
So Marlon's Man doesn't like me, though, because at the 2017 MLB All-Star game in Miami, he was there, and I wrote about him. And we sat down in the Marlins Diamond Club, which is the fancy place, and he was eating a piece of cake with all the layers were rainbow-colored.
I always wanted to make one of those.
It's a little grosser in person.
Okay.
I'm not. It's
Man,
like
that's fair.
Pretty garish. He ate the cake, and I wrote about this. So maybe we'll tweet out. Maybe we'll tweet out. Sorry,
find it. Google Marlon's Man Charlotte Wilder.
Yeah, yeah. He ate the cake by color, but like in an unordered. He didn't eat the frosting, and he only ate the cake in like the. It was like watching a serial killer try to eat something. I'm not saying Marlon's Man is a serial killer.
Right, but maybe he we'll did something out. Very peculiar.
So he starts talking, and he says very sexist things and like talks about how he likes watching cheerleaders
and he knew you were
jump
on
up and
the
down.
Record, right?
He looks at my phone. He points to it. And he goes, you recording this? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, good. And I was like, so in the story I wrote, like I tried to, you
gasp.
Know, I almost felt a little pity for him because he's clearly, you know, there's something. He's not a happy person.
yeah. You know? He said things that were not
He talked about
okay.
his dad, and I just, it got very weird. So I, you know, wrote the story. I didn't blast him or anything. I just sort of put
you
his
You just wrote about what he said and, like, did.
Because at this time, you know, there was a ton of positive press about how this guy is amazing. And I was like, well, there's kind of another sad story, but so he didn't like that at all that I wrote that, and he stuck his Twitter people on me. So I was in a Twitter fight with Marlon's man, but in a Twitter fight with Marlon's man, you kind of just have to say nothing.
Yeah.
You can't really win
was,
that one.
You or he was on the record. Like, he knew you were going to write a story about him and still said all of the creepy or whatever you want to call them things that he said.
Yeah.
So I don't know how it's your fault that you wrote the story that he knew you were recording on your recorder to write. But Marlon's man got ahead of the story, so...
So good. He should have gotten ahead of my story is what he should have done.
Yeah.
He should have tweeted, hey, heads up, Charlotte Wilder is writing about me.
Yikes.
Next time, maybe. Okay, the most confusing thing this week, and the reason we're ranking things based on confusion, is because there was an NBA trade that went so horribly wrong.
This was one of the funnier things that's happened in a long time.
It was
on NBA Twitter.
Yeah, so there was a trade attempt between three different teams trying to get Trevor Ariza to...
Trevor Ariza's on the Suns, and the Wizards were trading for him, I believe.
And there was
a three-team trade involving a player named Brooks.
Last name Brooks. But the problem was that the whole thing fell apart because...
So one GM thought that they were trading for Dylan Brooks, and the other thought they were trading for Marshawn Brooks. Two different players. And this deal was in principle agreed upon, but Trevor Ariza wasn't available to be traded till the next day. This happened like late Friday night. So... I think what happened was that the GMs saw Adrian Wojnarowski and other basketball Twitter people tweeting about...
You know, all the insiders with their little nuggets of information.
I think they saw them tweet about which Brooks was in the trade and realized that they were both confused about which Brooks they were talking about. So then all of a sudden the deal got canceled because they couldn't agree on which Brooks to trade... / keep. So like this whole thing happened probably in the span of 30 minutes.
Yeah.
There was a trade. It was agreed on.
People tweeted about it.
Basketball GMs looked at Twitter apparently and saw, or maybe like a reporter called them and was like, hey, just clarifying, you're talking about Dylan, right? And they were like, no. And then there was like this three-way like game of telephone going on with NBA GMs, and they were all didn't realize they were talking about a different person.
It was like a who's on first of the 21st century.
It was
like,
very funny.
This Brooks, and it reminded me of like dating guys at a New England prep school, and like you put the wrong note in the wrong Brooks's locker.
There's so many Brookses.
And this is something I would totally do.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, whoa, wait, which Brooks are we getting? And I'd be like, oh shit.
Well, this is why having a weird name like Smetana is actually
true.
No one's ever going to be like, which Smetana are we talking about? There's so many of them.
I feel maybe the same way with Wilder.
Yeah, I don't know many Wilders.
No, weirdly though, a bunch have started following me on Twitter, which I love. I'm like, hey guys, like, welcome.
Yeah, are we related? I don't know, but hey.
But hey, what's up?
Yeah. This was very funny, a very confusing week all around.
And I will say, you know, you complain about your name sometime, but like on the bright side, at least you would never get traded to the wrong NBA team.
That's so true.
I know. You're stuck on Most Valuable Podcast.
Yeah.
Happy you can't
to be
get
here.
Traded to another
happy
podcast.
To be here.
Okay. Okay, Outdoor Voices is a company that makes high-quality, attractive...
It says active apparel, and Charlotte said attractive apparel.
But it is attractive apparel.
It is attractive apparel. It's very cute.
It takes you from gym life to everyday life seamlessly and fashionably, and I've never felt like... I don't usually feel like one of those women who's put together and like looks good at workout classes. Like, this is not my vibe.
Right, I go to work out.
Yeah, but when I wear this...
You can do both.
When I wear Outdoor Voices, I'm like, oh my God, am I doing it?
Right. No, that's... I love... The Outdoor Voices sent us some really great stuff that I've pretty much worn every day since they sent to me. It's super comfortable.
Me too.
It's great. Just great.
Very flattering.
Workout stuff. I wore my workout crop top when we hiked to the top of the Hollywood sign last week.
Yes, you did. And Outdoor Voices.
And my Outdoor Voices shorts too, actually.
Oh my God, you were in a full outfit.
I know. I didn't do it on purpose, but it's fine. It's cute.
What I love about Outdoor Voices, in addition to their great clothes, is that they also host events across the country to keep you doing things, and you meet new friends along the way, whether it's through events or their hashtag on social, hashtag doing things. The brand likes bringing exercisers together who live for fun, which is basically us to a T.
Yeah, and Outdoor Voices clothing is engineered for performance and designed for having fun with a fabric offered for every single type of activity. So you can get like, I'm going to walk around and chill fabric, or you can get like yoga, stretchy, like need that stretch.
Yeah, or you can get like, I'm going to go for a long ass run.
Right.
Freeform is a cozy and soft material. Tech sweat, textured compression. I mean, it's just, it's all great.
The cloud knit shirts are my favorite.
Yeah.
They're so comfy.
I don't have one. I would take one of those. Oh. So our call to action, you guys, you got to go for 20% off your first order of $100 or more, which is an insane deal.
Yeah. You should, if you haven't gotten Christmas presents for the people in your life yet, I think this is a great, great place to start. Because you get 20% off your first order of $100 or more.
Go to outdoorvoices.com/MVP and enter MVP, and you'll get 20% off your first order of $100 or more.
Outdoorvoices.com/MVP.
Okay, unprotected sex.
Yes.
Jess, can we do True Gritty first this week?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. When we last saw Fanny and Gritty, Mark Davis had locked them in the under-construction new Raiders
in Vegas.
Stadium mm-hmm. in Vegas. So they're in and he shut the lights off. Fanny and Gritty fumbled around in the dark to try to find the light switch. The electricity appeared to have been cut, though, so they remained in darkness. Gritty squeaked his little hands, a nervous habit he picked up on Sesame Street when Sweetums and Big Red used to be late to pick him up from Oscar's trash can in the evenings after school. Fanny lifted his shirt up and shined a ray of light out of his belly button. Gritty looked at him, shocked. I got some tricks on my sleeve, shirt, too, you know, Fanny said. With the light, Gritty examined the door. It was a thick metal slab that looked like it had come from a safe at the Bellagio. They slumped down against it. As Gritty's fuzzy butt hit the floor, he heard a hollow sound. Did you hear that, Fanny? Gritty said. I think this is a trap door. They pulled up the shag wall-to-wall carpeting that Mark Davis had installed in every office, and lo and behold, there was a square cut out in the concrete with a hinge on one side and a handle on the other. Fanny tried it, and the slap creaked open to reveal a dark tunnel that smelled like beer and cigarettes. Oh my God. The monsters looked at each other. Did we do it? Gritty asked. Fanny shook his head. We never had a choice, Grit. Fanny squeezed himself through, literally putting a round peg through a square hole, no easy feat, and dropped a few feet with a soft thud. He then reached up and pulled Gritty through. Fanny shone his light through the tunnel. There was a thin layer of water pooling on the bottom of the big pipe they'd found themselves in, and the darkness went on for what seemed like miles. So the monsters reached up and closed the hatch and started walking. They'd gone no further than 10 steps when they heard clanging overhead and a visceral scream. No! Mark Davis screamed inside the room. My mascots! I'll find you! Gritty and Fanny took off. They didn't know where they were going, but they knew they had to go.
Oh my God, they escaped!
They escaped.
Fanny has a flashlight coming out of his belly button?
Yep.
Oh my God.
That thought brought to you by the train at 8 a.m. this morning. I was like, how are they going to see? And then I was like, oh, obviously Fanny has the flashlight in his belly button.
Oh my God, Fanny.
Right. Well, if Gritty has squeakers in his hands.
Oh, I love Gritty.
I should probably call the Phillies and be like, hey, just so you know, you're going to need to attach a flashlight to your mascot's stomach now.
This is canon.
This is canon.
That's so great. I love it.
Okay, we unfortunately for you guys, we don't have an Aunt Char this week because she's busy. She had to go shopping with Martha Stewart again.
Yeah, she's at Tiffany's. She is busy.
Yeah, she had
it's
to return.
Fine. I don't want to talk to her anyways.
Well, I mean, I like when you talk to her. I'm a little biased. She's my, you know.
I know, really, I know.
But we have a ton of Aunt Char coming up for our Gritmas special.
Gritmas Spectacular.
Sorry, Gritmas Spectacular, yeah. Which you should all send in questions for. We're recording it. Soon, and then we're going to release it the day before Christmas.
Also known as Christmas Eve.
I'm Jewish.
Hey, you're right.
But we do have an Ask a Youth this week, which is...
Yes.
I've seen a lot of people, Jess, talking about TikTok. T-I-K, no space, T-O-K. I don't know what
TikTok
this is.
TikTok on the clock. No, not the Kesha song.
Not the
I'm just kidding.
I know the Kesha song.
I know you're talking about TikTok.
Yeah, what is it?
It's an app. Okay. Have you ever heard of the app Musical.ly?
No.
Okay. Well,
you're like, I'm starting
to. So TikTok is now like the biggest app.
Okay.
Probably second to Facebook and maybe Instagram.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Like, has millions and millions of users.
I'm a little alarmed that I spend so much time on the internet and I don't know.
Right.
Is it like niche?
No. It's pretty big now at this point.
Huh.
So it's an app where you can record yourself basically lip syncing to songs. And you can also
record these videos.
Yes, you've probably seen them on Twitter because people now like tweet
put them onto
like screen record them and put them on Twitter.
Okay.
There's also like compilations of like cringiest TikTok videos on YouTube, which are really cringe. Okay. And that's like a whole TikTok subculture, basically, is people that record videos that are just easy targets to get made fun of. But that's not why. That's a whole separate thing.
Okay.
And don't cyberbully people.
Don't cyberbully people.
But anyways, like mainstream TikTok is like people recording themselves singing songs and doing like weird dances.
Should
it's
make
kind
one?
Of like Vine. Well, this is my question to you.
Yeah.
Should we make an MVP TikTok account? It's kind of become like the new Vine where people can get really famous. Like there are, you know, 9-year-old TikTok users who have 20 million followers now.
Yeah, let's try it. And let's make an MVP TikTok, or you know what? Let's play around with it a little bit.
Let's make a poll on Twitter. Should we make a TikTok?
No, because everyone's going to say yes.
You're right.
let's play around with it a little bit, and then on the Gritmas Spectacular, we'll announce our findings.
Right. It's so yeah. Anyways, TikTok is.
Wow, I learned so much doing this podcast about the youths.
Yeah, it's a thing now, and I think you're probably going to start hearing more and more about it. And it's also kind of like the last app to not really have. No, not the last app ever. No, I was going to say the last app to not have advertisements on it yet.
Oh, so it's still
it's
pure.
It's owned by a Chinese company, and I think that they have just been paying for it with, like, venture capital. I don't think that they've been, like, getting sponsorships and stuff like that.
Well, let's use it before it sells out.
Yeah, let's do it.
By the way, I'm available to sell out.
And we're also really good at lip syncing.
We are really good.
Lip syncing.
We had an incredible, when we were in LA for Sports Person.
Should we talk about our personal news?
Yeah, our personal news this week, we got to get out of here soon because we've taken way too much time in the podcast studio today. But our personal news is that we went to LA for Sports Person of the Year, met some incredible people. I hosted the red carpet, Jess produced the show. John Cena is my new favorite person
of
all time.
Yeah.
But we had a rental car that we got it from Hertz, so we named it Jalen Hertz.
Like H-E-R-T-Z.
Yeah.
Pretty clever.
So it was funny. And we had gone for a hike and we were lip syncing. No, we were actually just singing.
We were singing.
Bobby McGee.
Belting.
By Janis Joplin. And this guy pulls up next to us and our windows are rolled down. And he looks at us and started laughing and we didn't break character at all. We just sang it to him.
With water bottles as microphones.
And then we drove away.
It was a very special moment.
It was. Maybe we'll release that footage someday.
Unreleased footage.
BTS, behind the scenes, most valuable podcast on the road.
But all I gotta say about LA, I get it. Yeah. I get it. It's really nice there.
It's beautiful.
It's really nice there.
It was sunny.
It was sunny, other than the haze of smog and pollution that kind of...
And the traffic.
And the traffic...
The traffic.
They're not kidding about that traffic.
No.
We went on like the 405 and like it was
so... Oh my God,
so
the 405 was so backed up.
Real talk, when we got in our car and got on the 405.
It was backed up.
It was backed up and there is a carpool lane. And Charlotte veered across maybe 4 lanes of traffic to get in the carpool lane, crossed 2 double yellow lines.
I did that.
So 4 lines total.
Yeah. Well, you were like, hey, there's a carpool lane. And I was like, okay. So I just got us in there. And then you were like, whoa, that's super illegal. And I was like, there are no cops.
I was like, you can't cross a double yellow line.
I was like, I checked the rearview mirror. There were no cops. We were fine.
It was fine. We made it.
Okay, this week we have 2 call debs for you.
Yes, but one's like a call deb, is it sports crossover?
Yeah.
So we're calling my sister Deb, who lives in Madagascar, as you've probably heard us talk about.
Because she has a question about whether something is sports or not.
Yes.
And it's a really good one.
And then we're going to call Deb.
Mom Deb. My mom Deb. Yep.
Yeah. I feel bad saying like Deb 1 and Deb 2, but like there's 2 Debs.
It's I think it's Mom Deb and Sister Deb.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Sister Deb first.
Sister Deb.
Is it sports?
Here we go.
Hi, Charlotte. Hi, Jessica. How are you guys?
Good. Well, we're good. We're good. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay, so you have an Is It Sports for us today?
I do. So as some of you know, Jessica and Charlotte being the sum, I live in Madagascar, and my Is It Sports is topical to here since our elections for president are tomorrow. And it is the...
As we all knew.
Oh yeah, as everyone knows. So it is the guy who led the coup in 2009.
Whoa.
Versus the guy. Yeah. Yeah, there was a coup in 2009. Mm. Versus the guy who was couped.
Oh my God. Wow. Wait, so have they gotten to a point where they can, like,
are they civil?
Do they have to debate each other? How does this.
Are they not mad at each other?
Yeah, they've
all
done
the time?
Debates. They've done debates. The guy who did the coup, like, has bought all of these, like buses that are just going around blasting Malagasy music with, like, people, you know, waving flags and shouting. So that's been really fun, getting stuck behind them on the roads.
Oh, my God.
So what is your Is It Sports?
So is a coup d'etat sports?
I'm going to go with a hard yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely competitive.
It's competitive.
I think you could probably write about it on a sports website.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, governments affect sports games, so, like, whether they can happen or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Didn't you say that, like, Madagascar qualified for the Africa Cup for the first time this year?
Yeah, for the first time ever.
That's amazing. And really relevant to
them. Yeah, good for them. They also beat South Africa in a friendly match before the World Cup, which is really embarrassing for South Africa.
Well, the U.S.
Or really great for Madagascar.
Soccer team's pretty embarrassing, too. Yeah, I feel like this one's sports.
With no disrespect to, you know, actual government. But right. I think that government in general... I mean, I think the United States politics is definitely sports, just like the worst absolute possible kind of sports.
Yeah, just sports that you don't want to watch.
100%.
How long do coups generally last, Deb?
Well, the one in 2009 lasted 3 days, which, I like, there have been cricket matches that have been, like, longer than that, right?
That's very true. I feel like the longest cricket match was, like, a couple months or something.
Was it?
Yeah, cricket matches, like, don't end.
We should go to a cricket match.
And be there's and like move match. Into the stadium and never leave.
There's a cricket match always going on.
Yeah, basically.
Anywhere in the world. And it's like one of those things you can set your watches to.
Well, Deb, well, thank you for this Is It Sports. Can you keep us posted on the politics over there?
Oh, no, I can't vote. No.
I'm just double checking. I mean, I assumed you can't, but...
No, they do that thing where they, like, put ink on your thumbs, too. So then you see people walking around with ink on their thumbs for, like, 3 days.
Mm. It's like a political... Well, I was going to make yeah. a joke that I'm not going to make.
I mean, it's not as good as those stickers that they give out at home, though. Yeah.
No, that's true. But,
I love the stickers.
You know, proof of civic engagement is always a plus.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
we'll take it.
Yeah.
All right.
But seriously, don't be scared to come to Madagascar. It's beautiful. We have, like, lemurs and
Have you seen the Disney Madagascar? I feel like I ask Jess this every time she talks about how you live in Madagascar.
No, I saw
Pixar.
The dubbed over version in French of the second one, and I fell asleep during it.
You should watch the first one. It's really fantastic, and I'm sure a completely accurate representation of your life there with talking animals.
Yeah. But Madagascar is safer than Chicago, so come here.
Beautiful.
Thanks, Deb.
Thanks, Deb. I would say see you soon, but...
Yeah, see you soon in a few months. Bye.
All right, see you guys. Sorry about the Patriots.
Thanks, Deb. That's good. Yes. That's a good ending. Perfect.
Just need to rub it in a little bit.
No, it's good. Oh. I appreciate it. Bye.
Sorry. All right, bye.
Sorry about the Patriots.
I did not tell her to say that.
I'm really impressed.
I'm actually
as
impressed
you sit here in your Steelers shirt.
Sorry. I had to wear it.
The only reason she knew is because of your family group text.
Oh, yeah, that's probably accurate. I'm like, she wasn't watching the Steelers game. That was on at, like, 3 a.m. Madagascar
I'm like, I know how this works.
You're right. Thanks, Deb.
Oh, I love that. That was a good one.
That was our other Deb.
Yeah, we have two Debs. Two Debs.
But we're still going to call Deb. Podcast.
Yeah, we're going to call Deb because we have some sad news.
No.
We need some dog help. Should we just call her right now?
Yeah, let's call Deb.
Can we call Deb? From one Deb to another.
Deb to Deb.
Deb to Deb.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Deb.
Hey, good morning. How are you two?
We're good. We just talked to Jess's sister, Deb, and now we're calling my mom, Deb.
Oh, it's a day of Deb.
Yeah.
Oh, Deb Day.
Deb Day.
Yeah.
Because Jess's sister lives in Madagascar and was telling us about the elections there and whether those were sports, and they are.
Oh, yes. You know, I think all of these elections remind us that sports have very serious origins.
Yeah,
true, for sure.
And it is sports, but sports is deadly sometimes. Oh, Lord.
Oh, yes.
Sports are, we learned that this week.
Sports theme songs.
Yep.
Sports are deadly, I know. They really are.
Can you give us an update on the dog, please?
Oh, well, there's not a lot to tell. For those of you who haven't been following, we have a beautiful German Shepherd year-old puppy named Echo, whom we all love passionately. And Echo has some kind of infection that is not going away. And she's still in the hospital. And as of this morning, we're clueless, but we'll probably do some more tests and bring her home this afternoon.
Well, maybe someone who listens to the podcast will have had a similar experience and will send you unsolicited tips and advice on what to do about your sick puppy.
Yeah. She's in a wonderful hospital, and they're taking very good care of her. She had pneumonia, and that responded to antibiotics, but whatever the underlying infection is, has not responded to a series of brutal antibiotics.
Honestly,
so we're trying. Yeah.
Sick dogs is the saddest thing in the entire world.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
So we need everybody send Echo your good vibes.
Yes, send her. But I thought, just on a more positive note, I thought since it's almost the solstice that we needed to talk about the Boston winter sports update.
Oh, okay. What's up?
Well, first of all, in the swimming pool where I swim, the lifeguard was wearing a down parka yesterday.
I'm sorry. So here's my question. Did you see the lifeguard wearing a down parka and get in the pool anyway?
I saw him. I said, this is not encouraging. And I got in the pool anyway.
You're so nuts. Oh, is this an outdoor pool?
No, it's an indoor pool.
And it's that cold? Was the heat broken?
The whole pool had broken, so they were trying to get the heat up. They'd gotten it kind of up to 70, but it was
I hate
cold.
Being cold.
I do, too.
I hate it.
I'm so impressed. Whenever you swim in very cold water, and I used to a lot. I used to go with you, and then I think I hit a point where I just didn't want to be cold anymore.
Yeah.
Then I hit a point where life is short. You might as well jump in. So
life is short. You might as well be warm. That's my motto.
These are competing theories of swimming.
These are competing theories. But on the other hand, a woman I know swam in Walden Pond on Sunday without a wetsuit for 5 whole minutes.
Oh, my God. Is she alive?
I saw her. She was alive and kicking.
How many toes does she have?
Yeah. How many did she lose?
She only.
Lost a lot of good toes out there.
My toes were numb after swimming in that pool.
Wow.
But she said that there were people in wetsuits swimming in Walden, swimming across the pond on Sunday.
Wow. That is sports. That's hardcore sports.
My least favorite chapter of Harry Potter is the chapter in the Deathly Hallows where he has to jump into the freezing pond to get the Sword of Gryffindor.
Yeah.
I read that the first time and wanted to scream and vomit. I hate
Well, I have to tell you that your friend Charlotte has been known to jump in the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, I'll jump in, but then
because it's there.
But then I get out. Like, I like jumping in and out.
Makes me think of like when Hugh Freeze jumped into Lake Erie when he was like, "If we go 0-16, I'll jump into Lake Erie," and then they did, and then he jumped into Lake Erie and his like pants fell down and everyone saw his butt.
Well, I think that there's something kind of wonderful about tightening your bathing suit before you jump into the freezing
pool. Yeah, agree on that. That's on him. He didn't tie his pants up.
Yeah, we all agree that that was a logistical mistake, and it had nothing to do with the temperature of the water. I could go there, but we're not.
So could I. Okay, on that note, Deb.
Thanks, Deb.
My Deb, we love you.
We love you. And please send best wishes to Echo.
Yes.
And we'll keep updating.
Okay. Love you.
Bye. Love you guys.
Bye.
Love you too.
You know what I love?
What?
Is how most podcasts will be like, this week we have guests, like Steve. Sorry. I couldn't think of a single famous person. I was going to say Steve Jobs.
I thought of like
three
dead.
Right off the bat that we met
say,
last
like,
week.
We
have like, or like we have Bill Gates on this week's pod. And we're like, this week we have
Deb,
my mom
and
your sister. And that's really all if famous
people
want to come
people
on.
People always ask
fine.
If we're going to like start doing having guests on. And I think to answer that question, probably at some point. But I mean, it just has to be like the right.
Yeah.
Right, guess.
We're not going to just have famous people on to have famous people.
Right. We've been in talks with a few people.
Yeah, well, not to give anything away.
Not to give anything away.
I do have a text message back.
Oh, whoa, you haven't told me this yet.
Yeah, well, the person was like, sorry, I'm not around on Wednesday. So I was like, yep, cool. Okay, maybe we'll try you in the new year.
But yeah, eventually we'll probably have guests on.
Yeah. So if any famous people want to come talk to us and you're interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah, text us.
Text me.
DM, Twitter.
Reach out. Call me, beat me if you want to reach out.
Oh, God, I'm going to have that stuck in my head now.
Sorry. All right, we're going to close out with a 30-second rant from Jess. It's not a Notre rant. It's a college football playoff expansion rant. Ready, on your mark, get set, go.
Okay, I know that everyone thinks that since I'm a Notre Dame fan, I should be pro college football expansion because it basically gives an automatic bid to players, to teams that aren't in a Power 5 conference like Notre Dame, and I don't think Notre Dame should ever join a conference, which I talked about 2 weeks ago. But I'm not a really big fan of this because I think that to ask unpaid athletes to play over 15 games a season is kind of a lot, and I think that it's not really great for the athletes, and I think that we should think about the athletes first because they're the people that are not getting paid for their services. And I think that if we have an 18 playoff, there's going to be teams in the playoff that have two, maybe even three losses sometimes. And I don't think that the 6, 7, and 8 seeds are even going to be competitive in the playoff. Maybe a 16 playoff with a play-in game for the two number one seeds that, you know, have a bye week. And then we do
your
like
rant runneth over.
Yeah. But anyways, if you want to fight with me, I'm open to a dialogue.
No, a respectful dialogue.
Yeah, a respectful dialogue. This is definitely something that I think there's really not like a right or wrong answer right now. I think we need to kind of explore all options, but I'm always down to talk about it.
Slide into those DMs.
I love talking about football.
But only with nice football stuff.
Yeah.
We're not talking about any songs.
I love all songs. Every song.
Every song is perfect.
There's never been a song that I've hated.
No,
I love every song.
And anyone singing it, I love them too.
Because if you hate a song, you hate the person who sang it.
Well, that's how it works.
Yeah.
That's how criticism works.
Right.
Yeah. Every criticism is a personal attack.
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks. Woo! That's all we got for you this week. Listen here on Apple Podcasts, radio.com, wherever you get your shows. We're on Spotify.
Yeah, and tune in for our Gritmas Spectacular. Send us questions for it.
It's going to be so fun. Anshar is hanging around for a while.
Yes.
We also follow us on at Most View Podcast on Twitter and at Most Valuable Podcast on Instagram.
And we'll be back on, like you said, for a Gritmas Spectacular and on January 2nd for our post New Year's
extravaganza.
We'll call it that.
Yeah, we've got a
post New
Year's
extravaganza. And then we'll be back on our normal Tuesdays
and
after that.
Yeah, perfect. Great.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Love you.